Our message tonight is titled, Images from Joseph of Jesus. And you might want to keep your Bibles open to Genesis 37, chapter 37 to chapter 42. We're going to be flipping all throughout those chapters. So it'd be helpful if you have your Bibles open. I'm sure each of you looked at photographs from the past and saw similarities to people in the present, didn't you? You might have looked at an old picture of a great-grandfather and saw a similarity to a grandson in the present. Now, the similarity might have been faint, and the picture might have been a little grainy, but there was a definite similarity in the image. And as we look at people in the Old Testament, from time to time we can say, I see a similarity in this picture that I saw in the life of Christ. And such is really the case with this historical account of Joseph. As you read this account, without trying it, you put the account of Joseph alongside the account of Jesus. And the photographs are so similar. The images from the far past have such a likeness to what happened with Jesus some 2,000 years ago. Tonight we want to look at six parallels between the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus. As we look at these photos, old photos, I hope our memory is refreshed. As we look at these old photos, I hope we see things in a new way. As we look at these old photos, I hope we are challenged to appreciate the work of redemption as accomplished by Christ in an even greater extent. Parallel number one. And as I read these scriptures, I just hope you just allow the Holy Spirit just to open your minds up. As I read these scriptures, what do you see in the life of Christ? Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel, the father, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. 37, verse 13 and 14. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Jacob, the father, loved Joseph more than any of his children. The father sent Joseph into the presence of his Jewish brethren. The one who he had made a coat of many colors, the one who was the dearest to him, he sent him forth to the sheep and his brethren. So what did you see? Is the image clear? Did you see Jesus? Matthew 15, 24. And he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. John 17, 23, 24. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God the Father sent his Son on a mission. He sent him to the lost sheep of Israel. The one he loved from the foundation of the world, he sent him forth. And we see Joseph is a beautiful picture of our Father sending the one he loved to be with us, his lost sheep. Parallel number two. As I read these scriptures, what do you see? Genesis 37, verses 18 to 20. And when they saw him afar off, even before he was come near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Verses 23 and 24 of chapter 37. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. The one Israel the father loved, the one the father sent, they rejected him. They treated him harshly. They intended to kill him, to snuff the life out of him. Such was their hatred to their brother. What do you see? Is image clear? Can you see Jesus in this picture? John 1 verse 11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own," what? "Received him not." John 15, 23 to 25, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this came to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, they hated me," what? "Without a cause." Isaiah 53, verse 3. "He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." I just thought of that scripture, I didn't include it here, where Joseph was in the pit without any water. Remember what the brethren were doing? They were up sitting around the pit, eating a meal. Such was Joseph, despised and esteemed. And we see the same with Christ. Matthew 21, 42. Jesus said unto them, "Did you not read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Mark 8, verse 31. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be," what? "Rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." God the Father loved the Son. He sent him to his brethren. But he was hated and rejected by his brethren that he was sent to. He was in the world, and though the world was made by him, the world received him not. As we see the account of Joseph, we see the future rejection that Jesus Christ would suffer in the hands of his brethren. Parallel number 3. As I read these 3 verses, what do you see? Let's read these together. You all have your Bibles open. Genesis 37, we're going to start at verse 26 to 28. I think we can read these together. Genesis chapter 37, we're going to read 26 to 28. "And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then they passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." Joseph, the one loved by his father and sent to his brethren, was rejected and was sold to the Gentiles for 20 pieces of silver. Now, whose idea was it to hand him over to the Gentiles in order to make a profit? Whose idea was it? Judah, right? He sold him It was his idea to sell him for money because he was jealous of him. Verse 26 talks about all this being Judah. And it's interesting, Judah, if you take the word Judah and you translate it into the Greek, does anybody know how it's pronounced? It's pronounced Judas, as in Judas Iscariot. This Judah, here in the Old Testament, he was one of the special 12. Judah was one of Joseph's, it seemed like he should have been, his closest friends. Yet here he betrayed him. He sold him for profit to the Gentiles, sold him for gain out of hatred, out of jealousy and selfishness. How Judah undervalued Joseph, not realizing God's plan for him, not realizing God's potential for him. He just saw a boy of 17 years old, and that's what Joseph was at this time. To Judah, he was just an ordinary person, Joseph was, that he could make gain from. Is the picture clear here? Are the grainy images making sense? Do you see Jesus in Matthew 26, 14 to 16? Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, they sought opportunity to betray him. In Matthew 20, verse 19, "And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and crucify. And the third day he shall rise again." The Father, God the Father, loved his Son and sent him to the lost sheep of Israel. There he was rejected by them, the Jews. They treated the Son harshly and they handed him over to the Gentiles. He was sold by one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of silver, out of selfishness and greed. Isn't this picture in the Old Testament full of wonder and intrigue and fascination? Parallel number 4. As I read these scriptures, what images of Christ do you see? Genesis, turn to chapter 39. We're going to start reading. I'm going to read it starting at verse 19 to 23. "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all of the prisoners which were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Joseph earlier had been falsely accused by Judah and thrown into the pit. Here he was falsely accused by the high official of Egypt, a Gentile, and thrown into prison. While in prison, we can surmise that he preached to the captives. He was with, we know, at least two other criminals, or so-called criminals, the baker and the butler. The one was given a second chance, and Joseph asked him to remember him when he came into his kingdom. The other criminal died. What images do you see of our Savior in this account? Psalm 69, verses 8 and 20. "I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." Luke 23, verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18 and 19, For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which he also went and preached unto the spirits in, where? In prison. Isaiah 53, verse 8 and 9. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. God the Father allowed Christ to be put to death and be buried. He descended to Hades and he preached to the prisoners. Joseph's rejection, Joseph being put in prison and preaching to the prisoners, there are images, shadows from the past that were made clear in the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Parallel number 5. As I read these scriptures, what do you see? Genesis 41, I'm going to start at verse 41 to 46. Genesis chapter 41. And I hear the pages flipping, and I just appreciate how you are following along in your scriptures. Genesis chapter 41, starting at verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was, how old was he? 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So we can see here that Pharaoh, he lifted Joseph out of prison. Out of his suffering, the king called him. He gave him a name. He gave him a position of honor beside him. He highly exalted Joseph. Though he had went into prison in shame and disgrace, yet he rose from prison in honor and glory. The name given to him by Pharaoh, it means salvation of the world. And Joseph began his official ministry to bring salvation to the world at the age of 30. The one who had been sent by his father who loved him dearly, the one who had been rejected by his brothers, put in a pit with no water, sold to the Gentiles for silver, and then falsely accused and cast into prison, this same Joseph rose up to be supreme ruler and bring salvation to the world, both the Gentiles and the Jews. Is this picture grainy, or can you see Christ pretty clear? Zechariah 9, verse 9 to 11, a prophecy concerning Christ, even though it's from the Old Testament. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of the covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoner out of the pit wherein is no water. Philippians 2, verse 8 to 11. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And let's also remember that Jesus also began his ministry, his earthly ministry, just like Joseph, at the age of 30. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be, what? Saved. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, not with food like Joseph did, but with his blood, which he freely gave to save the Jews and Gentiles. Jesus Christ, the bruised. Jesus Christ, the rejected and the falsely accused. He has God lifted up and given a name which is above all names. Ephesians 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Joseph, a picture of Jesus Christ, his rejection, his exaltation, his salvation, images from the life of Joseph, of Jesus. We saw parallel number one. Both were sent by a father who loved them to his brethren. Parallel number two, both were rejected by their brethren. Parallel number three, both were sold for silver by selfish and greedy and jealous individuals. Parallel number four, both were sent to the grave or to prison where they preached unto other prisoners. And five, both were exalted and became savior of the world. Parallel number six. Those of you who have studied this, you know that from chapter 42 to the last verses of chapter 45, there is one theme to this whole thing. Does anybody know what it is? Forgiveness and reconciliation. We see in these chapters Joseph recognizing their hatred of him. We see Joseph in these chapters, we see he formulated, he designed a plan to bring them to repentance. We see Joseph initiating the plan. We see Joseph putting extra efforts in to gaining reconciliation. It's all about reconciliation. And what an image this is of the work of Christ on our behalf. Colossians 1, verse 21 and 22. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he, talking about Christ, reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Through the work of Christ, we have reconciliation, we have pardon, we have forgiveness, we have peace with God. In Genesis 45, verse 2. And if you want to turn to that, we want to, this is a very, also another really interesting scripture. Genesis 45, verse 2. Genesis 45, verse 2. And he wept aloud. Now this was when the brethren were in with him, and he was going to finally tell them, after all this work of reconciliation. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray thee. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. The word troubled in Hebrew means, now this is talking about the brethren, it means to tremble inwardly. It means to make afraid, to be amazed. Can you see them gazing on the one they pitied? They looked upon him whom they had rejected, who is now their Savior, and who is now the Savior of the world. Does that sound familiar? Christ himself will in the future bring the remnant of Israel to repentance. It says they will look upon him whom they, what? Pierced. Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Images, wonderful images of Christ in the account of Joseph. You know, I believe there are glimpses of each of us in this account. Of course, the whole account of reconciliation, we're in that totally, because the work of Christ is all about reconciliation to us. But I thought of the 11 brothers of Joseph. Who are we like? Are any of them a picture of us? Judah, who rejected Joseph. He reviled him. He despised him. Are we like him? There was Reuben. Reuben, he took up for Joseph. He secretly was going to help him in his trial, but he was too late in his actions. Are we like him? There was Benjamin. Benjamin, he loved Joseph to the core. He would never do anything to offend him. Who are we like? We see that their acts against Joseph, even though years went by, were constantly on their conscience. When Joseph was working at bringing reconciliation, and he had, in part of that, he accused them of being spies, the brothers said one to another in Genesis 42, verse 21 and 22, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul, and when he besought us, and we would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us. You see, they repented of their sins, of what they had done against Christ. Where are we with Christ? Which brother are we most like? It's also interesting, Joseph, as you read, we read the account, he had forgiven them in plain, simple words. He couldn't have been any more plain about his forgiveness. He said, you know, God allowed this to happen. God intended for me to be here to save the world, the known world at that time. And so Joseph had told them all this. But it's interesting, when their father passed away, they feared that Joseph's forgiveness was not genuine. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 50, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures there. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 to 20. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us for all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Joseph was exasperated. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is in this day, to save such people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I want to ask each of us, do you doubt the work of Christ in your life? Do you constantly deal with false guilt and deal with feelings of discouragement, doubting the forgiveness of Christ? Don't be like Joseph's brethren. Trust the words of Christ in your life. His blood has forgiven you. Your past that is under the blood, he does not bring up. All your past, all your rejections of Christ, all your spitting in his face, all the times you went against his will, it's forgiven. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't waddle in guilt. Trust the forgiveness of Christ. Images from the past about Jesus. Joseph was a wonderful person. But the salvation provided by Joseph was even more wonderful. But it's just a shadow. It's just miniature compared to the person and work and salvation of Christ. Let's get excited about Christ. Joseph said to the butler, remember going back to those prisoners, Joseph said to the butler, remember me when you come into the kingdom. Now the thief on the cross flipped it around and said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But Jesus says to us about the communion service, do these things in what? Remembrance of me. Jesus asks us to remember him in the kingdom of God that we are currently in. So let's not forget the work of Christ like the butler did. May this image grow larger and larger in our lives. And someday in eternity, we'll see Christ himself. We will stand around the Lamb and see him and hear him and say, worthy in the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. May God bless each of us as we remember Christ, as we think about him, and as each of us continue to grow in our relationship with him.